of Vincent and Gary. This is the story of something much more.
You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Our power and privilege cannot move a people when they know where they stand and they stand in the Lord. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
We acknowledge that this land that we meet on today is the traditional land for the Kaurna people, and we respect their spiritual relationship with their country. We also acknowledge the Kaurna people as custodians of the Adelaide region, and that their cultural and heritage beliefs are still important to the living Kaurna people today. We also pay respect to the cultural authority of Aboriginal people visiting from other areas of South Australia. Margie Taylor said, the Moore Street Mission people are unable to take our contributions for non-perishable food at the moment. They're short-staffed, and of course there are COVID concerns, you know, decontaminating stuff and so on. So she'd be really happy to hear from anyone who has another charity about town that is able to accept non-perishable goods now. Welcome, everybody, to our service of worship. My name's Jenny Dyster, and I will be leading the service today. We're an inclusive community. It doesn't matter whom you love or worship or how you identify, you're welcome here. Today's service will be in two parts. The first is the blessing of the school bags. The children are at home and digitally connected. I have a little slideshow prepared by Maureen, and then I'll invite people to come to the pulpit to wish the children well, whether they begin their school year at home online or whether they will be able to go off to school. It's a bit of a dog's breakfast this year. The children will then attend their Zoom session with David Freesmith, and we will continue our service entitled Only Connect. Please feel free to stay for coffee, tea and conversation if you're able. Now, we are being live streamed, but the cameras are on the front area. The live stream is not available to the general public. It goes to invitees, that is, people who have been provided with a link. You are not being filmed, when you are sitting in the pews there. The camera is pointed at me. At the moment. Now, hi kids, do come to the screens. I'm sure you're milling about all over the house with just a screen on. We're just starting up with the official blessing of the book bags part of the service. Because you're home and not here, I'm going to begin by showing the little slideshow Maureen and I put together to remind the adults here who you are and how tall you've grown. For it will be a week or three before we see you again in Sunday Club when the Sunday Club program at church resumes, because that, of course, is indoor activities. We are very happy that you're continuing to meet for outdoor activities like last night's Chinese New Year's dinner at Penfold Park. We really want you to tune in now to this YouTube presentation before your Zoom session with David in 10 minutes or so this morning, because members of the congregation are going to come up to the pulpit here to give you good wishes and maybe even some tips on how to make the best of 2022 school year. We all think we're experts because we all went to school once upon a time. Plus, we love you all. So this little slideshow will take about a minute, and then we'll get into the goodwill and good wishes part. Here we go, back to school. These are the photos that the kids sent. So, kids, we bless your school bags. Now that's symbolic. It's not the bags we love, it's you who carry the bags. We care about your happiness and your learning, and we worry a bit about the bags and hope they don't sit too heavy on your growing shoulders. My special tip is to try to be mindful about how the load sits when you first pick it up and position it. Picture some of us oldies who've got one shoulder up and one shoulder down and think, I will treat my left and right evenly and distribute the load as comfortably as I can. I will also unload as much as possible and not leave heavy stuff in my bag, a microsecond more than it needs to be there. Plus one more, I will stick up for anyone who gets teased about using a rolling bag. After all, we don't know who has scoliosis, who's protecting their shoulders for dance or athletic pursuits. It's each person's choice how to treat their own body, and that goes for everyone. I now invite members of the congregation who would like to speak, to give good wishes, to come and queue down the middle here, a metre and a half apart in the aisles, to take their turns at my no hands pulpit to just deliver a short message of goodwill or a piece of advice for children. Do we have a starter, please?
Have a wonderful year, successful year. Make the expectations yours. Make it your passion, not anyone else's. And enjoy your new friends.
Hi kids, have a great time at school, and how wonderful it is that you're going to eventually be able to get back there and not have to be cooped up at home. Have a wonderful time and have lots of fun.
Try and find the teachers who make learning fun and lock onto them.
Hi kids, this is Christine. We were together yesterday for the Chinese meal, which was absolutely lovely, and it was a delight to see you all prancing around and enjoying yourselves. It's been a long time since I went to school and I hardly remember it, but I do remember the friends I made, and it's a great opportunity for you to get together with your friends and learn a lot. Have a great year.
David, excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you're watching this and going back to school, I would say my main advice is just to throw yourself into new things, even if they might seem scary, because usually you'll get a good experience out of it. So just try new stuff.
Thank you, people. And kids, that is the end of the messages, but kids, you may want to stay watching us just for one more little bit of the service, and that's the prelude, because Brendan has a splendid song for us to begin.
Story of power and pride. British Lord Leslie and Vincent McGarry were opposite men on opposite sides. Leslie was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean and spoke very little. He had no bank balance, hard dirt was his floor. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Gorinchi were working for nothing but Russians, when once they had gathered the wealth of the land. Daily the pressure got tighter and tighter. Gorinchi decided they must make a stand. Picked up their swags and they started off walking at Waddy Creek. They sat themselves down. I don't know much, sure got tons talking. Back at the homestead and then in the town. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Said, I'll double your wages, 18 quid a week you'll have in your hand. Vincent said, we're not talking about wages, we're sitting right here till we get our land. Investing and roar, investing and thundered. You don't stand a chance of a cinder in snow. Meet and sinner, if we fall, others arising from little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Then Vincent and Carrie, they boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. Daily he went round, softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life. And Vincent sat down with big politicians. This affair, they told him, is a matter of state. Let us sort it out, while your people go hungry. Vincent said, no thanks, we know hows and ways. From little things, big things grow. From big things grow. Then Vincent and Gary return in an airplane back to his country once more to sit down. And he told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south and cities and towns. And years went by, 8 long years of waiting, till one day a stranger appeared in the land. He came with his lawyers and he came with great ceremony.
For our readings, there's nothing like the smell of old books or the crack of a new one's spine. Plus, you never run low on battery. As it turns out, diving into a page turner can also offer benefits toward your health and happiness. Although more and more people own e-books, it seems safe to say that real books aren't going anywhere yet. And these benefits of reading are here to stay, just like good books to read. 88% of people who read e-books also read printed ones as well. And while we're all for the convenience of digital downloads and a lighter load when travelling, we can't bring ourselves to part with the joy of a good old-fashioned read or some classic books. When we talk about healthy habits, we may as well add reading books to the list. We're going to remind ourselves now of 8 smart reasons to read a real book. And the mic is going to come round.
As Dr. Seuss once wrote, the more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you will go. Diving into a good book opens up a whole world of knowledge, starting from a very young age. Exposure to vocabulary through reading, particularly reading children's books, not only leads to a higher score on reading tests, but also higher scores on general tests of intelligence for children. Plus, stronger early reading skills may mean higher intelligence later in life.
Plus, it can boost your brain power. Not only does regular reading help make you smarter, but it can also actually increase your brain power. Just like going for a jog exercise, your cardiovascular system reading regularly improves memory function by giving your brain a good workout. With age comes a decline in memory and brain function, but regular reading may help slow the process, keeping mind sharper longer, according to research published in Neurology. Frequent brain exercise was able to lower mental decline by 32% reports to having to boast.
Reading can make you more empathetic. Now, empathetic means simply empathy, being able to understand the thoughts and feelings of other people and relate to them. According to research published in Science, getting lost in a good read can make it easier for you to relate to others. Literary fiction, specifically, has the power to help its readers understand what others are thinking by reading other people's emotions. The impact is much more significant on those who read literary fiction as opposed to those who read non-fiction. David Comer Kidd and Emmanuel Castano wrote in their findings, "Understanding others' mental states is a crucial skill that enables the complex social relationships that characterize human societies."
Flipping pages can help you understand what you're reading. When it comes to actually remembering what you're reading, you're better off going with a book than you are with an e-book. The feel of paper pages under your fingertips provides your brain with some context, which can lead to a deeper understanding, better comprehension of a subject you're reading about. That's a report by Wired, which amusingly is an online paper and isn't available in print form. So reap the benefits of a good read, opt for the kind of physical pages and maybe one of the best books out there.
Reading puts your brain to work, and that's a very good thing. Those who engage their brains through activities such as reading, chess or puzzles could be 2.5 times more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease than those who spend downtime on less stimulating activities. The paper suggests that exercising the brain may help because inactivity increases the risk of developing Alzheimer's. Inactivity is actually an early indicator of the disease, or a little of each.
There's a reason snuggling up with a good book and maybe a glass of wine after a long day sounds so appealing. Research suggests that reading can work as a serious stress buster. One 2009 study by Sussex University researchers showed that reading may reduce stress by as much as 68%. It really doesn't matter what book you read. By losing yourself in a thoroughly engrossing book, you can escape from the worries and stresses of the everyday world and maybe spend a while exploring the domain of the author's imagination.
Reading is contagious. 75% of parents wish their children would read more for fun, and those who want to encourage their children to become bookworms can start by reading out loud at home. While most parents stop reading out loud after their children learn to do it on their own, a report from Scholastic suggests that reading out loud to kids throughout their elementary school years may inspire them to become frequent readers. Meaning, kids who read 5 to 7 days per week for fun. More than 40% of frequent readers ages 6 through 10 were read to out loud at home, but only 13% of those who did not read often for fun were. Translation: story time offers a good way to spark an interest in the hobby.
Reading before bed can help you sleep. Creating a bedtime ritual, like reading before bed, signals to your body that it's time to wind down and go to sleep, according to the Mayo Clinic. Reading a real book helps you relax more than zoning out in front of a screen before bed. Screens, like e-readers and tablets, can actually keep you awake longer and even hurt your sleep. That applies to kids too. 54% of children sleep near a small screen and clock 20 fewer minutes of shut-eye on average because of it, according to research published in Pediatrics. So reach for the real book before switching off the light.
Thank you, Jill. Now, we'll have a little time for meditation. And meditation can be used before study. I'm sure you can recall that when you were studying, you get everything set up, you've got all your learning resources ready, the laptop's there, the book's there. But the tricky bit is beginning. Your brain works best under certain conditions. You want to be able to retain important information, and meditation can help you do this. Instead of feeling anxious in a low mood, you want to be feeling a bit confident and full of anticipation before a study session. Meditating for 5 minutes or so before studying allows you to calm the mind. You can start with 5 minutes and work up from then if you feel the need. And the idea is not to meditate on something in particular, but rather empty your mind and focus on your breathing and then work up from that. As you meditate, there's an increase of blood flow to the brain and other organs. Stress and anxiety subsides, and development of parts of the brain responsible for memory starts. You begin by taking 3 conscious deep breaths, and you might like to do that now. And deep breaths mean the diaphragm inflates, the shoulders stay down, and you release the breath slowly. So that's just 3 of those. Now desist from conscious control and just follow the breath, observing sensations as the air flows in and out. Generally, your muscles relax more on the out breath. Focus on the breath. If thoughts intrude, put no energy into suppressing them. Let them float through your consciousness, but pay them no fixed attention. May they be like little clouds in a windy sky, just passing through. Stretch if you like, and smile. I won't be able to see the smile behind the masks, but I'll know you've done it. It's time now for an interlude, and I'm going to invite Brendan to come up.
To drag the past.
I'm going to start the service with a connection. As lay leader of this church, I'm getting letters now from Susan, who's the president of the UUA Association in the States. I'll read a letter out in full. Dear Jennifer, as the first month of 2022 draws to a close, I'm sending you love and so much care. I have never experienced anything like this extended period of uncertainty. Isolation, discouragement, loss, and heartbreak. I hear from so many corners how exhausted our religious professionals and leaders are, the constant planning and changing of plans, the emotional toll of the difficult decisions we've been making for more than 2 years. We've been on high alert on so many levels for years now, trying to protect ourselves, our families, and communities, trying to save lives from health, economic and political calamity. The other thing I know is that virtually none of us are at our best. This is hard as leaders when we hold so much responsibility and have to navigate so many expectations. It's also hard as we minister to communities of people who are also struggling. Incidents of people acting terribly seem to be everywhere. I send you grace and care, and I know too many of us have been on the receiving end. And I pray for all of us to feel the deep compassion and loving kindness that is present to us and a part of us. I invite you to connect your values to your joy and to be reminded that we're not in this struggle alone. One of the things I've been trying to do each morning is to listen to music and dance as a way of connecting to my own joy. Recently, I was reminded of a wonderful video clip of the late John Lewis dancing to Farrell's Happy at a campaign event for Georgia candidate Stacey Abrams. It's a moment that illuminates the grace he showed over many decades working for social justice. Throughout a long and distinguished career, he experienced many daunting obstacles and setbacks, but never stopped celebrating life. This video made the rounds in January the 5th as people celebrated the incredible turnout in the Georgia Senate election runoffs. The turnout was the success of black organisers registering and turning out voters in historic numbers despite the disenfranchisement efforts of the state. I share this memory because it matters that we remember times when the people have led and won. It matters that we take time to savour moments of joy and sweetness. They provide vital sustenance. And sustenance is critical because the struggles we face are long haul. What are the moments bringing you joy and sustenance? And how might you create moments of joy and sweetness in your days? In these difficult times when we face daunting challenges on seemingly every front, it's more important than ever that as leaders we continue to offer ourselves and each other grace and that we have intentional time for rest and joy. And then she goes on to invite people to join in the UUA's 30 Days of Love, which is a celebration that lasts from Martin Luther King Day through to Valentine's Day in the States. She finishes by remembering the video of the great John Lewis dancing, and it inspires me to keep working for the passage of the Voting Rights Act that now bears his name. It inspires me to want to make our ancestors dance as they witness our efforts, rooted in love and joy, creating a sea change toward justice and dignity. Yours in love, Susan. Now, what that letter did more than anything was made me reflect on the comparisons and contrasts with the American experience. We have experienced a great deal less awful behaviour and quite a lot of kindness and accommodation. I mean, there are AMBOs and nurses who've copped a blow here, but it's nothing like what it is in the States. In the office here, we've received only one reprimand over our handling of COVID restrictions and interpreting the advice. That's just one in 2 years. But we can empathise fully with that feeling of being sick of it, sick of QR codes, sick of masks, sick of isolation, sick of not being able to have whoever we want round at our house and travelling wherever we want to go to see and do whatever we want. And we wish it was all over. Sadly, it ain't. After all that, after venting, there's no point banging on about being sick of it all because that just winds us up. Instead, I wanted to focus on connection, and a phrase from Susan's letter stands out. That is that we have intentional time for rest and joy. We can connect with our own joy by singing and dancing around the house or going for walks or runs to commune with nature, but it is important for us to connect with others just for fun and fellowship. We're heading into the best time of the year for socialising outdoors, autumn. Well, technically it's still summer in February, isn't it? But La Nina has ensured a bit more wet and mild than usual. And these effects wear off in autumn, so it should be the usual pattern of cool nights and warm days, not stormy like spring. Last night I was invited to the Sunday Club's outdoor celebration of Chinese New Year, all catered for by one excellent Chinese cook, Maureen. What a treat. So picnics are one way to go, and another way is to have a couple of low-key musical afternoons and a video and lunch here at church each month. Our members in residential care are just emerging from yet another lockdown, and these arrangements facilitate their inclusion, to have it here and not go elsewhere. Now, just returning to where I started today's address, and that was with Susan's letter. She included information about the restoration of democracy in America. Stacey Abrams, the Georgia candidate, referred to America as a flawed democracy. And there's been an erosion of voting rights since 1965. The Voting Rights Advancement Act has passed the House and is currently stalled in the Senate, where the Republicans are trying to block it. The Unitarian churches are on the side of advancing voting rights, as you may predict, and so are old-school Republicans, as opposed to the Trumpish faction, which has so much influence even now. I would pray for them if I thought that was how things work. It isn't. But you can send encouragement to activists, and there are probably other ways also of support. But again, our Australian experience in the last week has been in favour of an inclusive Australia. Threats to councils who didn't want to celebrate Australia Day on January the 26th in the same old way were overshadowed by good news stories of inclusion. Inclusion of Indigenous views and perspectives and participation in ceremonies, discussions and panels on TV and radio. And hasn't the tennis been bonding? First up, we managed to return a serve. Well, that was a bit messy, and it showed up some discrepancies between jurisdictions and general bungling. But the good thing was it reflected in the end the will of the people, and that is that a player contemptuous of the measures to prevent contagion was returned. More of a tennis word than expelled or deported. And how good was last night with our Greek-Australian duo winning the men's doubles? And dear Ash Barty breaking our 44-year drought and taking out the women's singles. So let me wind up now and let's give Ash our round of applause. I love that. She didn't know that Yvonne Goolagong was there until after the match, which probably helped. It would have been an extra distraction as well as a thrill. You might like to stand, if you're able, for the benediction. It's one I've used before from Cynthia Landrum in the States. Be true, be well, be loving. We leave this gathered community, but we don't leave our connection, our concerns, our care for each other, our service to each other, to the world, to our faith, continues. Until we are together again, friends, be strong, be well, be true, be loving. And it was lovely to have people online today as well as those present in church. Please be seated for the postlude, which Brendan will play.
We hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.
Yeah.